بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله الكريم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We like to thank the Islamic Society of Augusta for inviting our beloved Sheikh of Da'wah Yusuf Estes to visit with us today. Alhamdulillah, my name is Mutahir Sabri. Many of you may know me. I serve as the Muslim chaplain for the South Carolina Department of Corrections, and over the last several days I've had the opportunity of traveling with Sheikh Yusuf at a number of our facilities. We visited actually 8 facilities within about 3 days, and we have 6 more to go. So we've done somewhat what we call a four-court press, or blitz, if you will. And alhamdulillah, it has really been a tremendous opportunity and honor for me, as I would like to share with you. Our Khalif Umar ibn Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that you don't know a person unless you do one of 3 things. That is, you either live with him, you travel with him, or you work with him. And believe me, I've had the opportunity to do all 3 with Sheikh Yusuf, and I believe, I would like to share with you that he is perhaps the most effective, if not the hardest working da'i that I have ever met in the North American continent. Allah knows best, and may Allah continue to bless him and preserve him. We ask that you make dua for our brother, because he works constantly to help bring others to the fold of Islam. Ask that Allah bless him with a pure intention, and that Allah make his efforts successful. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his effort and give him long life and much ajr in this dunya and this akhirah, inshallah ta'ala. So without any further ado, I'd like to bring to you our beloved Sheikh Yusuf Estes. Assalamu alaikum.
You always exaggerate, you know that. Alhamdulillah. Inna alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, hu alladhi ja'alana muslimin, was salatu was salam ala rasulullah al-kareem, wa ala alihi wa sabi ajma'in, ashadu ala ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna muhammadin abduhu wa rasul ma'bad. The praise is truly to Allah alone, and we thank him. And we bear witness in open testimony, there is none worthy to be worshipped except the one only God, which is Allah. And we bear witness in open testimony, Muhammad is his last and final messenger. What we'd like to do is perhaps talk today a little bit about the subject of the brotherhood in Islam and the importance of loving for your brother what you like for yourself. And this, of course, includes our sisters as well. And when we talk about the brotherhood in Islam, there's a beautiful saying in the Arabic language that Muslim ikhwanu Muslim. The Muslim is a brother to a Muslim. And I recall that when I grew up, I had 3 sisters and no brothers. And I was always asking, oh God, please send me our like a brother. Well, I got sisters. And when I got the last sister, they even put her in the same room with me. And I'm listening to her cry at night. But I didn't mind, because I said, when she grows up, I'm just not going to tell her she's a girl. She won't know any difference. And as she got older, you know, I was teaching her how to play ball and everything. One day, though, the other girls came to her and said, why are you out here playing ball with him? You're a girl. Come play dolls. I said, man, I just knew somebody was going to ruin it. Anyhow, I went all those years, and finally when I came to Islam, I was almost 50 years old, and then all of a sudden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he guided me to Islam. And I got 1.5 billion brothers and sisters all over the world. And really, it was wonderful. It's a great experience. And everywhere I go, I travel all over the world, and I meet people, and I'm attracted to them right away for the same reason that we should be attracted to somebody. You know what it is? Not for sex or to be attracted for money or to be attracted for power, wealth, position, or any of these things, but to be attracted to somebody simply because they love who you love. You love Allah, they love Allah, and that's a good thing to be attracted to them for. And there's an expression in Arabic when you say, "Ana hibuk fulan," I love you for Allah, or in Allah, meaning that my love for Allah is here and my love for you is here in the same way, because I know you love Allah and I love Allah. So this is a very beautiful thing. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, he taught us that you should what? Prefer for your brother what you want for yourself. When I was a Christian preaching Christianity, I recall very clear the verses from the Bible telling the people that, you know, that the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you, which is a very good rule. But Islam is taking this another step further by saying to us that not only do you want for them what you want for yourself, you prefer it. for them. So it comes down to, if there's only a little bit of food, you would rather see them eat than yourself. So it puts your brother and your sister in Islam at a much higher level even than yourself. This is very beautiful in Islam. It's self-sacrifice, and it's a giving, and it's just a given amongst Muslims to understand that we do things for each other. And when I came in Islam, I saw this demonstrated very much. Previously in Christianity, I had seen some very good people, don't get me wrong. Very nice and loving and caring people. Don't doubt that. But at the same time, when I came to Islam, it became the exception to find somebody who didn't care. All the Muslims cared about everybody. And one of the expressions that a Muslim uses over and over, as you know, is Alhamdulillah. Well, Alhamdulillah, translate more or less to English, is like the one who's always going around saying, praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, when they do that, we think they're extreme. But Muslims, they do it all the time, Alhamdulillah. So when a Muslim asks his brother, Kaifa Halik, how are you? You know, he really wants to know, how are you? How are you doing? And the response is what? Alhamdulillah. So this is something amazing, you know. And I was thinking that when the Imam was speaking on his topic a little earlier about the relationship between Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this was a beautiful relationship of such spirituality, of such love and concern for each other. That, unfortunately, I missed the introduction to his speech. He perhaps mentioned this already, so bear with me if I'm repeating what he already told you. But there was an occasion when Abu Bakr and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were in front of the Kaaba, which is the place where we direct our focus while we worship Allah. And by the way, we don't worship the box. Like some people said, we worship a black box in the desert, which is ridiculous. But we do focus in that direction, so we're unified in our purpose and what we do. In any case, they were there. And this was the time of Jahiliyyah, meaning that the people were ignorant. Very few people were Muslim. Most of them were against Islam. Kind of remind you of some other times, doesn't it? And there was a lot of bad publicity going out about Muslims and Islam in those days. Looks like again, doesn't it? And so here they were in this place, and it was an occasion when some of the ignorant people beat them up physically and hurt them. They hurt them so bad that actually it was thought maybe they might die. When Abu Bakr was taken to his own home, he became so concerned and worried, not about himself, but about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was so worried about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when he came conscious, he kept asking about him. They said, "What about you, man? You're all really messed up, man. You look at you; you can't hardly move. Your these are broken. This is this, and so on and so." He said, "I don't care," and he wouldn't be satisfied until they took him over to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be sure is he okay, and if he's okay, okay. Now, alhamdulillah, now I can go be sick. So this is the kind of spirit that people had in those days for each other, and especially for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so I'd like to encourage myself and all of us to be on that today. And think, sisters, by the way, for each other as well. Yeah, a lot of times we don't mention many of the examples of the sisters, but I'm sure the ladies could probably tell us stories about the very same subject of this love and the compassion, the sharing, the sacrifice. Sacrifice is very big in Islam. Very big in Islam. In fact, if you're not sacrificing for others, then what is your purpose for being here? Many of the people, not Muslim, many of the societies which don't have Islam, they preach a message of take what you can get. Hooray for me and fool you on everybody else. What I want, I take. I do it my way. My way or the highway. You hear this over and over and over. Islam is the opposite. It's not what you can do for me. It's what Allah will let me do for you. Because Allah, He's going to ask on the Day of Judgment, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. And the people will say, you're Allah, you don't eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. But you're Allah, you don't need to drink. I was naked and you clothed me not. But you're Allah, you don't wear clothes, I don't give up, come on. I had no place to stay, I had no shelter. and you gave me no shelter. But you're Allah. And he said, as you did it unto the least of the people, so is the same way as if you did it to me. Is this, I ask you, those who know about Christianity, isn't this the same teaching? Isn't it only more clarified? Very clear. Allah doesn't need anything from you or I. But what we're being judged on is what's our intention. What do we want to do? And are we really trying? And when we look to a human being and we say, oh, it's just a human being, it's not right. And if you say, well, that's not a believer. That person there, they're atheists. They don't believe in God at all. They still are Allah's creation. We don't say they're Allah's children, but we say they're Allah's creation. And indeed, they could become better Muslim than you, better believer than you tomorrow. You don't know that. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that a person, verily, they'll go through the whole life acting like somebody from the hellfire until they're so close, it's like an arm's length away. But then what's written for them by Allah overtakes them. They act like somebody of the paradise and die in this condition. As a result, they go to paradise. But somebody else, he may be acting like somebody from the paradise until he's so close, he's almost in it. But then what overtakes him is what's been written for him by Allah. He acts like somebody from the hellfire, and as a result, he enters into the fire. And may Allah save us from that. Ameen. So what I'm saying is that the people you talk to today and you say, well, he's not Muslim or they're not good Muslim, then, you know, we don't need them. But in fact, you don't know. And that's the same for the Prophet, peace be upon him, 1400 years ago. The people who weren't Muslims. Now, of course, in the very beginning, some immediately recognized, gave him no hard time and accepted Islam. One of those was his own wife, Khadija. Lady Khadija, radiallahu anha, she is like the first person that recognized this to be a true message and accepted it. And following that was Abu Bakr, whom our Imam Zalakhair was speaking about today. And Abu Bakr was one of those very first people, and he gave no resistance, immediately understood and accepted the message. And maybe that's why he's so high with Allah, by the way. I've thought about this before. Those who resist and fight and fight and fight and then finally come to Islam, they have a good reward with Allah. Don't think they don't. But it probably means they're going to suffer a lot more along the way for this resistance. And maybe they might not have the same status with Allah when they get to the next life. Allahu alam. So I'm always encouraging myself and all of us that when you know there's something from Allah, stop fighting. Give into it as soon as you can, because this is very important for all of us. But in any case, I want to come back to this, that it was Omar radiallahu anhu that was actually coming to destroy the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was going to come to kill him. He's ready. But when he saw his face, when he saw this prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his heart softened and he changed and he accepted Islam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And what about Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas? And what about so many of the other companions who also were fighters against Islam? These are the people who you think about them now as the great leaders in Islam, but in the beginning they were enemies to Islam. Big enemies to Islam. But Allah guided them. And so that's why I'm saying to us today, let's not be too tough on anybody. Let's look for the good in everybody. And when people do good, then we should acknowledge that. When they do bad, we shouldn't broadcast that. We should go and try to help them fix the problem and get on the right track. That's the least we can do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said what translates to English, that when you see a munkar, which is a real evil thing, something that takes people out of Islam, a munkar is something very, very bad, very evil, that you should stop it by your hand if you can. And if you can't do that, speak out against it with your tongue. And if you can't do that, at least you should hate it with all your heart. And that's the weakest, least of faith. So we ask Allah to give us this success in being close to each other for the sake of Allah, loving for the sake of Allah, caring for the sake of Allah, sacrificing for the sake of Allah, for our brothers and for our sisters. We ask Allah, give that to us, give it to this community, ameen. Make us so the people that in the last days will be able to understand this message, live up to this message, and propagate this message as the Prophet ﷺ predicted when he said, may the ones here today who hear this message from me, carry it to those who are not here today, and may those who hear it later understand it better. Can you imagine this? He mentioned also that Islam, it came strange, and that will return strange. And he said, give the good news to who? The strangers. And in this way is the only way that Muslims would like to be strangers. Other than that, we don't want to be strangers to each other. Certainly, we don't want to be strangers to the message, and we don't want to be strangers to Allah. But we don't mind to be strange according to this weird world that we live in today. I'm happy we had the chance to make it down here for our program here in Augusta today. We came, alhamdulillah, a very long way, and we were in another place yesterday called Greenville, South Carolina. And that was a great opportunity, and we watched a young gentleman enter into Islam. And he said he had been watching our programs on the internet. He had been downloading our programs, learned about Islam from our website. And he said, I never imagined I would get to meet you, much less that you would be the one giving me the Shahada. So he said it was something I asked for, and Allah gave it to me. Imagine his dua, his prayers, his supplication was being answered even before he made the Shahada. Alhamdulillah. And we have it recorded. By the way, we're trying to get it uploaded to the internet so that people can see that as well. We've been very fortunate and very blessed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed our whole effort so that many times when we thought we weren't going to be able to continue, Allah made something else happen. We can keep going and keep going. The equipment that we're using right now, these computers, the cameras, the internet, all of the things that you see, all of this donated by Allah through our brothers and sisters. And sometimes it's hard for me, you know, to think about how I'm not really doing anything. So many people say, oh, you did this, you did that, you're doing so and so. And I feel like I'm not doing anything. Like the one even who brought me here today, he's the one that stayed up and made sure everything was ready and drove me all the way to Greenville and drove me all the way here. And inshallah, he'll drive me back if he's not mad at me. Inshallah, he happens also to be my best friend. And I want to close by mentioning that, because as I was talking about France, he is my best friend. And even when he calls the house, my kids say, your twin is on the phone. And if you see us together, you see we don't look alike on the outside, but we hope we're alike on the inside, in that we love Allah and we like to call people to this message, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Because I met Mutahhir some years ago, and I was very happy to have this chance to work and be with him and share with that and visit the prisons with him and go to the places with him that he went. And as a result of that, we became closer and closer for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. And this is something you can't imagine. You can't imagine what it's like until you have it. And by the way, another person that is very close to me, worked with me, and used to hang out at my place on weekends, also doing prison dawah, is sitting in the front row right now here, is your imam, Muhammad Al-Hamsi. And we love him too much. We don't want to brag on these guys because they get the big head and I have to knock them around a little, but you know what? You couldn't ask for better brothers than these guys. So Allah, he gave me the brothers that I wanted many times over. All of you, I love all of you for the sake of Allah, and I hope you love each other for the sake of Allah. We'll end with that, and we'll end with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran. Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. Allah said to Muhammad, peace be upon him, say to these people when they tell you they love Allah, tell him, follow me, then Allah will love you. Wa he will ighfir lakum dhunubakum, forgive your sins, because he is al-ghafur rahim, the forgiver and the merciful. Until next time, visit us on the internet at www.islamtomorrow.com. We're open 24 hours a day and plenty of free parking. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. Louder, you don't have a microphone, I do. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khair, Sayyid. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.